You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, hey! Welcome to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top news from the world of work every single month. And welcome to our very, very special episode. This is your host, Ankita.
And this is Apoorva. And we are absolutely thrilled and over the moon to be celebrating a massive milestone today.
Bandits, welcome to our anniversary pod. I tried opening in a very different way, but Apoorva obviously stopped me because I was being too silly. But we are 4 years old today. Can you believe it, Apoorva? 4 years of HR Bandit, of me saying, hey, hey. Of dissecting HR trends, of a lot of coffee-fueled debates. It's been an incredible journey, and we couldn't have done it without our amazing listeners.
Firstly, I'm glad we stuck to Hey Hey, and Ankita, you know why. But yeah, what a journey indeed. While I joined you only in 2023, I have actively followed your journey with this podcast, and the way you are committed to it and just have kept it going, it's truly phenomenal.
Thank you. I think a lot of credit goes to our listeners, and I think the universe knew it was a very special month for us, so it made sure that we were spoiled for choice this month. Apoorva and I had a list of 11 topics we had to choose from, and while we did pick our top three, if you are curious about all the topics that didn't make it to the show, stay tuned till the end.
We do have a packed show for you. Three hot topics, some very special listener shoutouts, and a little teaser for what's coming next. So grab your favorite beverage or snack, get comfortable, and Ankita, let's dive in.
So every year since the inception of HR Bandit, we've been covering Microsoft's annual work trend index. Now, it's always a fantastic read. It has a lot of data, a lot of research that goes into it. And I highly recommend spending some time with this year's report, even if the report only talks about AI. Now, Microsoft is calling its report The Rise of the Frontier Firm, or The Frontier Firm is Born. The report focuses on how AI is reshaping the workplace. Now, per usual, we leave all the links in the show notes. I have a lot to say on this topic, but before I give my top takeaways, Apoorva, what's one thing or many from the report that stood out for you?
So there's definitely a few things that stood out. I found it really intriguing how the report describes this three-phase journey to achieve the frontier firm stage. So initially, AI will... So this three-stage journey is described in this way. So initially, AI will be your personal assistant, tackling repetitive tasks and boosting your efficiency. Then it evolves into a digital colleague, joining the team to handle specific projects, kind of like an AI researcher drafting a go-to-market plan, essentially equipping employees with new skills and freeing up time for higher value work. Finally, AI agents will manage entire business processes and workflows, with humans providing direction and stepping in for exceptions. Think of it like the progression of AI in software development, but applied to all kind of knowledge work. So for example, imagine supply chain roles where AI handles the logistics while employees focus on strategy and relationships. This three-phase journey, the way it's described in the report, won't be a very rigid linear path. Many organizations would likely navigate all three phases at once. Now looking at this, considering this, if I then have to describe my two key takeaways from the report, it would be, number one, the emergence of intelligence resourcing. So a function that's going to be a blend of HR and IT, which will manage the digital labor of an organization. And if this is going to be the future of our function, we really need to be building awareness about what are the different kind of models available, what are the different tools, agents available in the market, and which ones of those will be most relevant for our organization's use case. Secondly, the implications of org structure and skills that will be needed for the future. So more than cognition, I feel that there's going to be a need for high judgment-based roles and those kind of skill sets. Decision-making also becomes critical. So organizations will really be structured around work that needs to be done rather than functions, and the skills required for it will be very different from what we see today.
Your comment on the blend of HR and IT reminds me of the one news item that we actually saw but didn't add, is Moderna merging its tech and HR teams. And I do think we'll see more and more of it. The other thing is that everything I'm seeing is literally telling me that we in HR are falling behind in helping the business plan for an AI embedded workforce. We could and probably should do an entire episode on AI, but I'm going to very quickly talk about the two things that I think we really need to spend some more time thinking about. The first term that really stood out for me in the report is the term human agent ratio. And that really made me think hard. We're so in love with our level mix ratios, job family mix ratios. And I do think, like, as organizations start working with agents, if an organization gets to a stage where we are able to define what the ideal human agent ratio mix is, you know that organization has probably won the race. So that's the one term that really stood out for me and stuck with me. The other thing stood out for me in its absence of mention. The report avoids any conversation on the cost of widespread AI usage. And I'm saying this because the cost is not cheap. There are campaigns running asking users to stop saying please and thank you to ChatGPT because these niceties cost tens of millions of dollars in electricity costs to ChatGPT. On the other hand, Microsoft says that being polite to your AI chatbot not only ensures you get the same graciousness in return, but it also improves the AI's responsiveness and performance. Now, if I had to make a choice between sustainability and my agent saying thank you and please, I would probably choose sustainability. But like this gap in acknowledging it is really surprising to me. And it's also, I read this report a few days ago on Meta's new data center somewhere in the US. And this data center was built on acres of fertile land and has literally destroyed communities around it due to a large environmental impact and spreading across all aspects, including light pollution. Now, we keep talking about sustainability and climate change and everything else, but we've somehow managed to bury this conversation of how Gen AI and agentic AI needs to walk hand in hand with sustainability. And I really think that is a conversation I would really like to see more.
Yeah, while I do agree with that, but I also think that when it comes to sustainability, climate change, we need strong legislation for organizations to then act on it. And with Gen AI becoming more commonplace, I'm hoping to see that happen in the next few years. But I wholeheartedly agree to your point on cost. Not all organizations can afford to achieve a desired human to agent ratio if they do not optimize for the cost of running these AI agents. And that's an area where I also feel HR as a function can play a key role. How do we make sure we are upskilling employees in a way that they're using the Gen AI resources in an efficient manner? How do we keep a track of the amount of cost? So imagine instead of tracking headcount, we are tracking the cost our digital resources are using up and how we can reduce that. So instead of assigning headcount reduction targets, we assign digital optimization targets to our businesses.
Yes, and run training programs on how not to do frivolous work with your AI agents and by saying, thank you, please, can you please do this for me? But okay, Apurva, what's next?
All right, so let me move on to yet another topic that is very close to our heart and always warrants attention, gender diversity in the workplace. Specifically, a recent report of Women in the Workplace 2025 by McKinsey sheds light on a concerning but not so surprising trend in India, which is also global. The report states that women hold just 33% of entry-level roles in private jobs in India, and that there's a significant drop-off in women's representation as they progress up the ladder. It's a sad statistic, especially when we talk about creating equitable workplaces. The report does point to various factors, including societal biases, lack of flexible work options, and sometimes even the perception of certain industries being more male-dominated, even at the entry level. So while I'm really happy that McKinsey has come up with a report that specifically talks about India, Nigeria, and Kenya, because an argument I often heard with their previous reports was that they're not as global as we would like them to be. I'm definitely sad at reading what the report found out.
Yeah, I think in a In countries like these, where there is a large amount of talent available, the argument on not having, I want to say 50% diversity at entry-level roles is hard to justify. And I do think, like anywhere in the world, the best chance that organizations have at reaching like a 50% diverse workforce is at the entry level. And if you can't get that, like obviously it's going to drop off. There is no way that we get an even split in managerial roles, never mind senior leadership. So that is a disturbing observation, like you said. But I also think there has been a rising argument against positive discrimination. And I've been hearing this from a lot of my peers around the world, right? And these statistics and reports really show that we need to do a better job at explaining why positive discrimination needs to continue till we reach a point where we no longer need it. And this positive discrimination is not only for gender, it's caste, disability, and so on. Like in India, the whole reservation for caste becomes a whole divisive topic in itself. So I think the moment we start losing the conversation on positive discrimination, we can analyze systems and processes that we put in place all we want, but the people behind it won't be convinced. So we're not really going to make real change. And I think I would really like to start winning that conversation.
Yeah, and there's need for that positive discrimination. Firstly, I don't like that term, but I know that's what we need. And there's a need for that, not just at the time of hiring, but in also how we support women in the who are already in the workplace. So another statistic that the report shared is that women average 39 years of age at the entry level, while men average 32. And this significant difference suggests that women either start their careers later or face career stagnation, remaining in entry-level roles longer before they advance. So the report doesn't go into the details of what exactly is causing this difference in age. But again, there is an argument to be made that we do need to provide more support to women to advance in their careers to reach a point of equity. We're not there yet.
Yeah, I was very surprised by the age statistic because I expected it to be in the 20s, at least for the men. So we definitely need to dive in deeper and see what's going on. And I am going to take us to our last and final topic. But before I do, I'm going to pause and we're going to do something we've never done before. Now, over the years, we've had so many amazing listeners and we reached out and asked a few of you to send in a quick thought about HR Bandits.
Hi, HR Bandits. I am calling in as someone who has the privilege of working with Ankita, and that's also how I heard about the HR Bandit pod. What I love about the pod is that it has a way of helping me understand the world of work more broadly than where I work right now. And then to add on to that, I can always find at least one insight that I can apply directly in my HR role. So it's just a fun way to learn more about work. Thank you, HR Bandit.
That is so lovely to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that feedback. It really means the world to us. What I love about this is something I remember talking to Ankita when, you know, she was having a conversation with me for joining as the co-host of the podcast. And I asked her, what do you think differentiates this from any other podcast that's out there on similar topic? And she was like, it talks about not just the news, but we will also be sharing our opinions and what it means for our function. And I'm so glad that it resonates with our listeners too.
Absolutely. I think these messages really lit up my day. And we might just make this a permanent section of our podcast. So please keep those messages coming. And you might just find yourself listening to it here. Okay, with that, for our last and final topic for this anniversary special, we are looking into a fascinating trend we've seen bubbling up. Employees have begun in various ways taking matter into their own hands. It's not a new trend, but I think it's escalating really quickly. And there are two specific headlines that made us pull this trend into our May episode. First, Tesla employees wrote an open letter demanding Elon Musk's resignation, expressing concerns about leadership behavior and impact on company culture. Now, this isn't just a disgruntled few. It speaks to a growing sense of employee empowerment and a willingness to publicly voice dissatisfaction. I can't remember the last time I saw employees asking to overturn a CEO. Do you?
You know, it feels like it was a long time ago, even though it was not as long ago. But again, I'm glad that we are seeing a resurgence of this trend. In addition to the Tesla news, we had the Coinbase news, where questions arose about whether internal employees were responsible for a data leak. This highlights a different, more serious form of employees taking matters into their own hands, potentially due to grievances or just negligence.
Yeah, apparently they were bribed to pass on this data and they were very happy with the extra money. So one could add to the rumor mill by saying Coinbase doesn't pay its employees enough. But let's move
on. It is. Yeah, it's a complex landscape for sure. The Tesla situation for me reflects a maturation of employee voice. It's not just about joining a union or filing a formal complaint. Like, employees are leveraging social media, collective petitions, and media attention to exert pressure. It indicates that the power dynamic is shifting, and leadership needs to be really aware of employee sentiment and concerns, and ignoring them can have like really serious consequences.
A few decades ago, I don't think we would have seen news like this, but we're increasingly seeing this. And like, we've been saying that the employer-employee relationship has been shifting for a very long time. And as with any relationship, trust, transparency, and listening isn't optional. I think when employees feel unheard, or where there's a significant disconnect between leadership actions and stated values, employees will find other avenues to express their concerns. So for our profession, I think it's important that we bridge the gap, and we need to double down on psychological safety, and we really need to institute mechanisms where grievances can be heard and acted upon.
Absolutely. And then on the flip side, the Coinbase example is a stark reminder of the risks when trust erodes, or when employees feel that they don't have the freedom. It highlights the need for strong internal controls, but more importantly, for a culture of trust and ethical conduct. When employees feel valued, they are less likely to act against the organization's interest. So employee engagement isn't just about productivity. It's also about mitigating risk and fostering a loyal workforce.
Yeah, I don't know about loyalty, but I do definitely know that we need to start talking about the power dynamics and really acknowledging, I think, that what worked before isn't going to work anymore. It's always been true, and I think will continue to be true.
Yeah. Okay, so that was a lot of news. But before we start wrapping up, here's another caller who was kind enough to share their feedback with us.
Hi there, longtime listener, first time caller. I've always wanted to say that. I have really been loving the HR Bandits podcast. I think that the discussion around the so what from a practical and strategic perspective on some of the topics that are covered that are circulating the news has really made me think, particularly some of the thoughts around like agentic workers being spies. I was really thinking a lot about that, and it's really gotten my creative juices flowing for how I might solve for it. And I'm just so grateful that you both take the time to really think through what might be relevant for your HR audience or your business leader audience. And thanks for the time and intention you put into creating such useful, valuable content. Cheers to the years ahead. Thanks.
I love the opening phrase, and I think it's one I'm going to steal. Now, I'm hoping we get a lot more first-time callers. And before we like start inching towards the end, can I just read out this message we got from another listener?
Go for it.
Okay, so we posted this on LinkedIn, but in case you missed it, one listener said, I've heard 2 episodes of HR Bandits. I really like it. Apurva and Ankita are fun to listen to, and I have been thinking about the upsides and downsides of a flat organization recently, including how the organization needs to think creatively and proactively about offering growth and development opportunities for ICs. And then they talked about that exact thing. I love the idea of lateral rotations. It's such an interesting way to grow employees and help the org without creating new roles per se. Their analysis was really engaging and smart. I like that the show is part news and part commentary. It's thought provoking and informative, yet easily digestible.
Yay! I'm so happy to reread this and re-listen to this feedback, and it really made my day. I think I agree with you, Ankita, that we need to make these a permanent feature.
I know, they're such feel-good moments. But with that, I'm going to wrap up our top three things from the world of work this month, from AI reshaping roles to gender imbalances and employee activism. It's never a dull moment at work.
Not at all. But before we go, here are three other things you should know. Number one, May 20 was also International HR Day. Yes, we do get a day. So if you haven't already, take a moment to celebrate. Second, layoffs continued with Burberry and Microsoft culling their workforce. And lastly, we did make a small mention of it. Moderna merged its tech and HR teams, which is definitely a topic we need to talk about some more.
We will. There are just so many deep dives that we need to start doing. And of course, the piece of news that we haven't mentioned is Workday. It is all over the news because of its AI hiring tools and class action. But what a month. And as we wrap up this special 4-year anniversary episode, which is without doubt our best one yet, we want to extend a massive thank you once again to all our listeners. You are the reason we come back and do this every single month.
And speaking of reasons, drum rolls please. We have a special episode lined up for June. Our next episode will be a deep dive into the idea that HR is currently at an inflection point. We'll be exploring how global shifts, technological advancements, and evolving employee expectations mean that HR can no longer operate as it once did. It's a moment of immense challenge, but also incredible opportunity for us.
I am looking forward to that conversation. It's going to be one you don't want to miss. And if you have thoughts about this topic, send us either a few lines or a voice note, and we will incorporate it.
And if you want to see the full set of topics we pulled together for May, along with our commentary on why they should be added or left out, head over to either Ankita's or my blog. Additionally, in the next episode, we will also cover some questions that we receive from our listeners. So please do keep them coming. That's it from us on this very special 4-year anniversary episode of HR Bandit.
And while we are not singing happy birthday this year, like we did last year, you can go back to our episode last May if you want to hear Apurva and I sing happy birthday to the podcast. I'm going to get us out of here. On behalf of NHRD and Apurva, this is Ankita and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.